Hey, sis! Dad! Mom! Come on! Your Story Hour's on!
Presenting Your Story Hour, building for a better tomorrow. Today's story...
Butler, more wine, keep the decanters filled, and the gold and silver vessels from the temple in Jerusalem, keep them full. I want everyone to have all they want.
Pray for the king. Long live the king.
Wait, look, a hand. And writing on the wall. What is it?
What is it? What can it be? That hand on the wall. I've never seen it.
Hi, boys and girls.
Welcome, everyone.
Aunt Carol, after that scary opening, I think we should get right into the story without delay.
I agree, Uncle Dan. So listen now as we bring you the story of the Bloodless Hand.
When the great king Nebuchadnezzar died, he was succeeded by his son, evil Merodach. It is said that he ruled for only 2 years, then fell victim to a murderous plot of his brother-in-law, Nergal-Sir. Only a few years later, another son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar, Nabonidus, became king. Nabonidus realized the enormity of the responsibility that rested upon him.
Well, it's a very great responsibility, being king of Babylon. Especially since Nebuchadnezzar still lives in the memory of the people. They'll expect me to be as great and understanding and as good a king as he was. But there just isn't any man and king as great as was Nebuchadnezzar. He was the greatest of them all.
Thank you, Nabonidus. I'm glad to see that my husband recognizes the greatness of my father.
Well, I mean it. I didn't say those things about him merely because he was your father. Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest of the great. He was without equal.
What made him great?
Well, the man, what he was, what he represented, what he believed in. It was his character and personality.
No, I don't think so.
What was it then?
If it please my father, the king, I think I know what made Nebuchadnezzar great.
You, my son, Belshazzar, know why Nebuchadnezzar was so great?
Yes, at least I should. I have held a high position in the court of Babylon for many years now. Grandfather Nebuchadnezzar trusted me with many responsibilities, and I got to know him, really know him.
And what made him the great man and king he was, huh?
He believed in and worshipped the God of Daniel.
Oh, you really believe that?
I had many chances to observe Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel.
I think Belshazzar's right. We all know what happened when Nebuchadnezzar challenged the God of Heaven. He was made like a beast for 7 years. When he again acknowledged the God of Heaven, he was miraculously restored to sanity.
Is the queen, my own wife, trying to tell me that I will have to denounce Babylonian gods and worship the Israelite God to be a great king?
I'm merely observing that we have Nebuchadnezzar's example to benefit by.
Well, I can't worship other gods.
I think you can be a great king, Father, and still worship our Babylonian gods, or no gods at all. I will help you rule Babylon. Together we will form policies and execute them. You will outshine Nebuchadnezzar in his greatest day.
You have a point, son. I'll think it over. Well, son, I've been thinking. You have occupied an important position in royal affairs for several years now. You're a bright young man, but I'm not quite convinced that you are yet experienced enough to rule jointly with me.
I'm sure I could, Father. I am capable and ambitious. I'm not afraid to work or shoulder responsibilities, and I love the power and fame that goes with it. I know all about Babylon and its government, about world affairs, about everything necessary to ruling the kingdom.
If you were king, what would be your idea as to the present greatest threat to Babylon and the throne?
That's easy. Persia. Media. Especially Persia. Cyrus the Great is the person I'd watch. He is a shrewd, crafty king and in no hurry. He has his eye on Babylon and covets it.
How about Arabia?
She'd be my immediate concern, I think. I'd launch a campaign against the city of Tima right away.
Oh, maybe you are more clever at governing than I thought. My counselors are of the exact same opinion as you.
Are you going to march against Tima?
Yes, yes, as soon as the army and supplies can be readied, yes.
You're going to let me conduct the campaign?
No, I'll do that personally. But I will, I think, leave you here as king in my absence and commander of the remaining army. Well, son, good luck while I'm gone.
Good luck to you, father.
General, have the bugler sound forward march. Goodbye, son. Your majesty.
Goodbye, father. Your majesty. Scribe, assemble the court officers in the throne room at mid-afternoon.
Yes, your highness.
Yes, who?
Yes, your majesty.
That's better, and don't forget it. I am king. King of Babylon.
Yes, your majesty.
On the double. Round up the court officers immediately.
Yes, your majesty. Long live the king.
King. King Belshazzar. King of Babylon. I am now your king. As my officers, I expect each one of you to display proper respect and do me homage. The slightest infraction will be cause for your immediate extinction. Understand?
Long live the king!
I want to make something else clear, too, while I'm at it. I and I alone am the voice of authority here in the court, in all of Babylon. That goes for the gods also, specifically the God of heaven, worshipped and reverenced by King Nebuchadnezzar. From this moment on, he has no voice in the affairs of Babylon. No god has. Is that understood?
Long live the king!
Meanwhile, Nabonidus was successful in his campaign against Tima.
Well, General, it's over. We won.
Yes, your majesty.
Have you yet estimated the losses we sustained?
No, your majesty, but it wasn't too large.
And the enemy?
Oh, a few escaped, but only a few.
And Tima, is it pretty much demolished?
Yes, sir.
It's a shame, too. It was such a beautiful city, and the surrounding country. I had thought of making it my city of residence.
Why don't you, your majesty?
Well, do you think the city can be rebuilt, restored?
Yes, sir, without too much work.
Well, maybe I will stay here for a while. General, investigate and report to me exactly what it would take to rebuild Tima.
Yes, your majesty.
Nabonidus did rebuild Tima, and he remained there for 10 years. During those years, the official duties at Babylon were performed by his eldest son, Belshazzar. Then came Cyrus, founder and king of the new Persian Empire. He defeated the Babylonian army at Opis on the Tigris. Shortly thereafter, Sippar II was captured, and Cyrus prepared to march against Babylon.
General, is everything ready for the march against Babylon?
Are we going against the city of Babylon, your majesty?
The city of Babylon. The capital of the Babylonian Empire. We're going to take the city. You look doubtful, General.
The city of Babylon is impregnable, Your Majesty.
Don't tell me that the great General Gobryas is afraid. Impossible.
But, sir, Nebuchadnezzar, when he was king, made many changes in Babylon. He built a new addition to the city on the west bank of the Euphrates River. There's a new royal summer palace about a mile and a half north of the city. And Nebuchadnezzar surrounded all of these with a new wall, a dual impregnable wall with gates of brass. A moat further guards the city, and the central palace is practically surrounded by special citadels.
Babylon can be taken. We march immediately and lay siege to the city.
If it please His Majesty Belshazzar, the general of his army desires to see him.
He's probably worried about the siege of Babylon by Cyrus, but send him in. Yes. I'll see what he wants.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Long live the king.
What's your trouble, General?
I wish to report on our defenses, sir. As you ordered, we have stocked provisions in abundance for a lengthy siege. I have doubled the guard on the walls and the citadels, and all able-bodied men have been alerted.
Very good, General. Oh, but come, don't be so frightened. Babylon is safe from that barbarian, Cyrus, believe me.
Yes, sir, but I must say, sir, you seem to be taking this whole thing very lightly, as though you were happy that we were being attacked.
Why not? Cyrus doesn't have a chance.
Long live the king.
Yes, General.
Cyrus has camped on the west side of the river, just beyond your summer palace, Your Majesty.
He dare camp within sight of my palace?
Well, not exactly, Your Majesty. The little hill partially hides the actual camp.
What are they doing? What sort of preparations are they making to attack?
None, Your Majesty. They appear to be on a holiday, not a military campaign. They surely are ill-organized. They go swimming in the river, do just about as they please. I don't know what to make of it.
It's simple. Cyrus is a barbarian, like I said. He knows nothing but brute force. So far, he's just been lucky. But he'll never take Babylon by luck or brute force.
Aunt Carol, listening to Belshazzar makes me recall the old saying, never say never.
Me too, Uncle Dan. But you know, he really believed Babylon was impregnable. And history tells us that the city was unlikely to be starved out by a siege.
That's right. Water wasn't a problem, with the Euphrates River flowing right through the city. And they had vast storehouses of grain and other foodstuffs, as well as gardens within the wall.
It's said that the people of Babylon could have withstood a siege for 20 years or more, much longer than an attacking army would endure.
So let's find out if Belshazzar was right or wrong as we continue our story, The Bloodless Hand.
Cyrus, commanding a combined force of Persian and Median soldiers, has marched against the city of Babylon. At present, he is camped outside the northern limits of the city by the side of the Euphrates River. Inside the city, King Belshazzar is certain that the massive walls of Babylon, its brass gates, and the Euphrates River protect the city against the invading army.
Your Majesty, I simply do not understand it. Cyrus and his army are still acting as though they're on a holiday. No organization, no discipline, just eating, drinking, and relaxing.
It's simple, General. Cyrus, like I said, is a barbarian. He knows no better.
Your Majesty, it may be all put on. I have a feeling that it isn't all that it appears to be.
Put on, General?
Done for a purpose, for effect. It's just too deliberate to be real.
Even so, assuming you're right, what possible connection could it have in taking Babylon?
Well, I'm not sure that it does, Your Majesty. I'm just not sure either way, that's all, but I'm deeply concerned. Your Majesty, I'd like to show you Cyrus's camp, let you personally inspect it.
Is that possible?
It is, Your Majesty. From atop the citadel at the northwestern corner of your summer palace.
It's safe to leave the inner city and go to the summer palace?
Yes, Your Majesty.
All right. I'd like to see the enemy camp. Yes, I see what you mean, General. But you can only see a part of their camp. The rest is hidden by that rise in the ground. They are unorganized, aren't they? Confusion, gaiety, drunkenness.
It's almost as if it was organized disorganization, like they were trying to hide something by confusion. All the activity down there just doesn't ring true.
You know, General, perhaps you're right. Perhaps Cyrus is deliberately trying to make us believe his army is unorganized, thinking that we might then get careless, somehow giving him the opportunity to take Babylon.
It could be, Your Majesty.
But if Cyrus were standing here where we are, looking down upon the walls and fortifications, and could see what we see, he would realize Babylon could never be taken by force. Look at those walls, wide enough for two chariots to travel side by side. Why, my grandfather Nebuchadnezzar made this city of Babylon impregnable.
King Nebuchadnezzar was a great man, Your Majesty.
In many respects, yes. In others, he was quite foolish, especially in his devotion to the strange God of Israel. Why he would forsake our own Babylonian gods and pay allegiance to a strange god is beyond me. And I defy the God of heaven, if there be such a god, to punish me for disbelief.
Glory to the gods of Babylon.
Exactly. Power, wealth, position, enjoyment, pleasure, beauty. Those are the gods I worship, the only gods with power.
It was King Belshazzar himself watching us from atop the wall.
Yes, sir.
You're sure? Absolutely sure?
Oh, yes, sir. He's quite young. He looked self-confident, like he'd be easy to fool. Oh, I hope I get to see his face when it happens.
Oh, you will. His surprise and fear will be delightful to watch.
Yes. Messenger, send for my general. I want him here immediately.
Long live the king.
General, is there any change in the situation?
No, Your Majesty.
The enemy is still reveling and drinking in disorganized abandon?
Yes, sir. Except, Your Majesty, they appear to be easing up just a bit, as though they are tired of all the revelry.
That's normal. Even pleasure galls after a while. I want the chief butler and scribe here immediately. Send for them, General.
Yes, Your Majesty. Long live the king.
I want the baker here also. Gentlemen, I've made a decision. We're going to celebrate. Scribe, how many foreign dignitaries are present in Babylon?
Several hundred, Your Majesty.
Good. Butler, how about food and drink?
The storehouses are full and overflowing, Your Majesty.
Wine?
Oh, there is enough to flood the streets like water, Your Majesty.
Excellent, excellent. I hereby announce a forthcoming feast and celebration. A feast to end all feasts. For sheer grandeur and brilliancy, no feast and banquet has ever equaled this one. Scribe, prepare the main banquet hall in the central palace for 1,000 guests. Leave nothing undone that will add to their pleasure and delight.
Yes, Your Majesty.
And butler, I want you to prepare the drinks. There must be an endless supply of wine so that my guests will lose themselves in the maddening influence of the best wines in the kingdom.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Baker, you are to prepare a large assortment of cakes and bread and fruits, delicacies enough to satisfy the gluttonous appetites of 1,000 lords and ladies. And General, it is your responsibility to assure the guests that there is no danger from the enemy camped outside the walls.
I understand, Your Majesty.
How disappointed Cyrus and his army would be if they knew how really safe and secure we are.
So they feel secure inside the city, huh?
Safe and secure, sir.
If they only knew. By the way, General, do they suspect anything at all?
No, sir.
Is the work of the engineers about done?
Well, a few more days, and it will be.
Now, when did you say that Belshazzar's feast to end all feasts is to be held?
Well, our spies report it starts in 3 days.
And just about the time we're ready to surprise him, huh?
Yes, sir.
We'll plan on that, then. We'll surprise him on the first night of his royal banquet with a surprise that will end all royal banquets, huh?
Some feast, eh, beautiful?
The greatest I've ever been to, Belshazzar. Oh, can I have another drink?
You!
Bring your pitcher here and pour the lady another drink. Several drinks. Ah, this is a wonderful banquet. Everything that power and money can buy. Anyone in all the world who is anyone is here. You broke your glass.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, don't be. There are plenty more goblets and wine and... Aha, I have an idea. Yes, I'll do it.
Do what, Belshazzar?
Scribe! Scribe!
You call it, Your Majesty?
You know where the vessels of silver and gold are kept? The things Nebuchadnezzar had brought here from the Israelite temple in Jerusalem?
Oh, those vessels, yes.
Bring them here to me. The gold and silver ones, none of the others.
But, Your Majesty, those are sacred... Well, immediately, Your Majesty.
I'm going to get you the most expensive drinking goblets you ever drank from. The gold and silver vessels belonging to the God of Israel's temple.
Thank you, Belshazzar.
They say they are too sacred for a common mortal like me to handle. Sacred? I'll show them that nothing is too sacred for Belshazzar to handle. Nothing!
And they brought the golden vessels, and the king, his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank from them.
Drink, my friends, drink! Drink from the gold and silver cups! They are sacred cups! They belong to the God of creation!
The God of creation? There is no such God. There's no God except the God of gold. Gold!
A toast! A toast! Here's to the God of gold and the God of silver!
Long live King Belshazzar!
Just a minute! Let me say something! I am king. I am Belshazzar, king of Babylon. I am stronger than all the gods put together. I defy any god to prove otherwise.
Wait a minute. Look, look, look. Up there, on the wall.
Your Majesty, what's wrong? You're as white as a sheet.
It's a hand, a bloodless hand, writing on the wall. What is it?
Lackey, scribe! Who is doing that writing? General, do you know anything about the hand up there on the wall?
It's gone now, Your Majesty.
But the words are there, like gleaming fire. Wise man, come here at once. Scribe, can you read that writing on the wall?
No, Your Majesty.
Long live the king!
Do you recognize that writing on the wall?
If his Majesty would just give me time, I'll have it.
I will not! I want that writing read. Can you or can you not read it?
Oh, Your Majesty, that writing is...
Astrologers!
I doubt it.
Astrologers! Can any of you read those words up there on the wall? Can anyone read them? I order someone to read those words for me! You can't. Fine, wise men you are. Or are you just waiting for a reward? All right. All right. Whosoever shall read this writing and tell me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet... and have a chain of gold about his neck, and I shall make him the third ruler in the kingdom. You're fakes, liars, all of you. If I just...
Son, listen to me.
I don't have time for you now. Later, Mother, later.
But, Your Majesty, I have just remembered something.
All right, all right. What is it you just remembered?
Oh, King, live forever. There is in your kingdom a man in whom is the spirit of the holy God. In the days of thy grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, this man was made chief of the wise men. He interpreted dreams, explained riddles, and solved problems. Now, O king, let this man Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation.
Scribe, get this Daniel at once.
And Daniel was brought in before the king and requested to read the writing and reveal its interpretation.
O king, I would first remind you of the matters of Nebuchadnezzar. His sin and fall and his banishment to the dwelling places of beasts. Later, his dominion and glory return to him. These things, as you well know, O king, were judgments from the God of Israel. O king, you are also guilty of great sin. The Lord God is passing judgment upon you. You have defied God. The writing upon the wall is God's answer and judgment. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. The writing on the wall, O king, being interpreted means God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians.
The Medes and Persians? Cyrus? The Cyrus who is even now camped outside the walls? He will capture Babylon and bring to an end my dynasty.
God has spoken, and so shall it be.
Scribe, fetch the royal scarlet robes and put them upon Daniel. And the signet ring and chain of gold, put them also upon Daniel. And Daniel, thou art now the third ruler in Babylon.
Long live Prince Daniel!
Long live Prince Daniel!
Your Majesty, a messenger has just arrived from the outer city. It's of the utmost importance.
Bring him here.
Okay, Cyrus and his men are inside the city walls. He is
inside our walls. Babylon's walls!
Yes, yes, Your Majesty. Babylon is fallen. Even now, Cyrus and his army are marching toward your palace.
How did they get through the gates? Is there a traitor in our midst?
No, Your Majesty. While His Majesty and his guests were drinking, Cyrus marched his troops under the city walls into our city.
Under the city walls?
Yes, Your Majesty. They turned the river Euphrates out of its course and came in by way of the riverbed under the walls.
Then there is no hope?
No, Your Majesty. Babylon is doomed. But if His Majesty will come with me, perhaps an escape can be made through the Ninurta Gate and along the Kish Road. But His Majesty must hurry.
No, General. I shall stay and fight to the end.
In that night was Belshazzar slain, bringing to an inglorious end the Babylonian Empire brought into world prominence by the wise and God-fearing Nebuchadnezzar.
You know, boys and girls, our eternal security doesn't come from living behind walls or from armies or weapons. Real security comes from having a close relationship with Jesus.
Amen. So if you're at least 9 years old or even 99 and want to know Jesus better, we suggest you join our Adventures in the Holy Bible Club.
Now don't hesitate, because club membership won't cost you a thing.
That's right. The stories and puzzles are our gift to you.
Not only will you receive the adventure stories, puzzles, and quizzes, but as you complete the quizzes,
Whoa, Aunt Carol. Mm-hmm. Quizzes?
Yeah.
Sounds like school to me. Kids might be wondering if there's a lot of hard studying involved.
Oh, it's not like that. These are open Bible quizzes. They're easy and fun, and our Bible instructors are really nice. They'll answer any questions the kids may have.
Ah, I see. Now that that's clear, what were you about to say happens when kids return their completed quizzes?
Well, that's when they start collecting our dramatized stories on the life of Jesus. Theirs to keep, all free of charge.
Good. So don't wait, boys and girls. Sign up at our website today at yourstoryhour.org. That's yourstoryhour.org.
Or send us a card or letter and be sure to include your return address.
Our address is Your Story Hour, Box 8, Niles, N-I-L-E-S, Michigan, 49120. That's Box 8, Niles, Michigan, 49120.
It's time for us to say goodbye for now.
God bless you all.
This has been Your Story Hour, building for a better tomorrow.
This is Aunt Carol.
And Uncle Dan saying,
Goodbye, everyone.
See you again next time.